Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Oh, my. It's a bug planet. It's a bug radio program. John Landeckert, 720 WGN with Rebecca Fife, CEO of Landmark Pest Management. Welcome back to the program, and thank you for bringing your tiny friends with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
There's a great article about Rebecca in the latest issue of New City magazine, which we're going to get to later, because as it turns out, Rebecca is basically, well, a sanitation czar, if you will, against insect or any infestation in just about every Chicago fire, police, Midway, O'Hare, City Hall. You cover them all.
And 10,000 private residences.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, I guess I would assume that, you know, you would have private references, but residences rather. But this amazing list of Chicago institutions is just like, wow. The public library, the cultural center. You're basically in charge of keeping them pest free, I would guess, be one way of determining it.
We do. We're the only pest control firm in the United States to ever win a federal award for innovation. And when that happened, and we're local right here to Chicago and woman owned, all of the municipalities reached out and said, we want to work with you because you're objectively ranked as the best pest control company in the United States and you're located right here in Chicago. And at that point, we started doing the pest control for every public library in the city of Chicago, every police station, every fire station, and my favorite division of our company is keeping Chicago's 250 best restaurants free from pests.
Yes, indeed. How about that?
Yeah.
Because that would be maybe foremost front and center in the thinking of someone who doesn't really imagine themselves going to a police station or the fire station or maybe even City Hall, but people go to restaurants and keeping them free of critters, insects, whatever. I mean, that's something that's right up there with anything else when you want to go to a restaurant.
Absolutely. And I founded our company with a social justice mission. So I take a lot of pride in the fact that the children who attend schools that we do the pest control for, they receive the same caliber of clean kitchen and pest control that the Michelin-starred restaurants and James Beard Award-winning chefs demand for their restaurants.
Wow. That is incredible. What is the process of, say, you go into a Michelin star restaurant and here, take care of us? What happens?
Well, restaurants do a really great job keeping the restaurant clean.
Yeah.
Chicago has great sanitation in its restaurants. So when we go into a restaurant, if they have a pest problem, it's usually something that comes in, you know, on the crate of oranges between the corrugations and the cardboard.
Right.
Or a lot of times we do monitoring in every restaurant we service. So we've been monitoring in 250 restaurants for nearly a decade.
Wow.
And when German cockroach issues arise, they almost always arise in the employee locker rooms because many of the restaurant workers live in multi-unit buildings and their landlords are responsible for giving them pest-free housing and abating their multi-unit housing. But sometimes the landlords don't do that. So then the cockroaches can come to work with workers and we monitor and proactively treat in every break room and, you know, locker area so that cockroaches can't develop in our clients' restaurants. So our clients don't have German cockroaches in their restaurants.
Which brings up the question, what makes a cockroach German?
It's the little mustache. No. So there's three species of cockroaches that commonly infest restaurants in Chicago. There's the German cockroach, which is the smallest one, and they don't live outdoors in Chicago, and they don't tend to infest our sewer system. So those are the ones that we have the most control over. So our clients don't have those because
what is the German connection?
No, they're from Asia.
I don't know why
they're called German. Oh,
okay.
They're not from Germany. Okay. And then we have Oriental cockroaches and American cockroaches, and those are the ones that infest the sewer system. We have a little bit less control over those because if there's a broken or uncapped sewer pipe or the water level changes in the sewer system or the city does some work on the sewer pipe leading into the restaurant that opens underneath a wall void,
oh my God.
Those can enter. But German cockroaches are the ones that breed the fastest, cause the worst problems, and restaurants can be completely free of those as long as they have monitoring and proactive treatment. So we're really proud that we're able to completely protect our clients from German cockroaches.
I'm was totally unaware, and perhaps some people listening are unaware, that there were different cockroaches fulfilled different tasks. Like you mentioned that some were are in the sewer, but they're not in a restaurant.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, the ones that are in the sewer system, the American cockroaches and Oriental cockroaches, they yeah. can enter the restaurant through plumbing issues. And we can, you know, ask our clients to install waterless trap seals that allow debris and water to go down the drains, but don't allow odors and gases and cockroaches to climb up. So even though Chicago's sewer system is infested with American and Oriental cockroaches, they don't have to be allowed to come in unless, you know, there's a break in the plumbing and you need to get fixed. So, John, I snuck these live cockroaches in past your security desk.
Uh-huh.
I figure it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Right, sure.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So these are Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
By the way, they are in the palm of her left hand.
They are. And these are not native to the United States. They live in the duff in the forests in Madagascar. But the reason that I brought these is this is the size of the American cockroaches and the Oriental cockroaches. So it's cockroaches this big that are coming out of drains
wow.
from the sewer system, right? And all of these lady cockroaches are pregnant right now because they only have to breed once, and then they can re-impregnate themselves without exposure to a male again throughout their lives.
Well, aren't they the lucky ones?
So aren't they beautiful? They're big are these? Do these look about 2.5 inches long, about the size of a mouse?
I would say so. And what makes them hiss?
So they have spiracles along the sides of their abdomen that they breathe through. Mm-hmm. And their only defense mechanism, they can't bite, they can't scratch, they can't sting. Their only defense mechanism is to hiss. So if I get them really close to the microphone and I just kind of startle them by putting a little pressure on their back.
Oh, I heard that.
Let's see.
Hold on. Come on now.
Well, these are pretty placid cockroaches. Let's
They're so used to being around you.
See if I can get a better hiss. No, we're all pretty peaceful pregnant ladies here.
Just like the dog that won't perform the trick when it was time to when, and you know they can because they just did it before you came in, right?
Yes.
I mean, but that's what causes the hissing.
Yes.
And when the hissing cockroach has it in its mind, so to speak, to hiss. I mean, how loud is it? Is it something that we would notice?
It's about like, psst.
So that is not that noticeable.
Not that noticeable,
right?
No. And it's their only defense mechanism. They're very sweet, and that's the only way that they have to, you know, try to startle a bird or something that's trying to eat them.
I still didn't hear it.
No.
You know, it's not often that I hear someone describe a cockroach as being sweet. They're very sweet. What about them, Rebecca, makes them sweet to you? What is it about that cockroach?
Well, they have a
so
nice,
darn sweet.
They have a nice temperament. They don't mind being held, and they're part of my creepy zoo. I have a traveling zoo, my itinerant zoo, that gets brought to schools, malls, different public events, so that I can teach children about insects and the life cycle of insects and how, you know, their metabolism works, mm-hmm. what they eat, and how we use the science of the way that insects feed and breed to control them.
I see. So this obviously is the result of a lot of study and many years of experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
So take ants, for example.
Okay.
So you don't want your grandparents' dental care, and you don't want your grandparents' pest control either. But many of the big companies on TV that everybody who's listening knows the name of are still giving people their grandparents' pest control. So if you call one of those companies about ants, they're going to spray a very toxic treatment that makes every surface that ants can walk across toxic. So what happens? The ant walks across and it seizes up and it can't get back to its colony. So that foraging worker ant is dead. Well, that's the old-fashioned way to do it. The better way to do it, the modern way to do it, because we're about 10 years ahead in terms of our field trials and proprietary innovations, is we apply a very slow-acting, low-toxicity formula that the ant can ingest. It's a bait formulation, and they take it back to their queen because it's undetectable to them. It doesn't affect them for 3 or 4 or 7 days, and then they feed it to their whole colony, and by the time it takes effect, they collapse their whole colony.
And how long would that, well, it would depend on the size of the colony, obviously, or just?
Within 7 to 10 days, two weeks maximum, we can abate even the most difficult ant problems at home, especially with odorous house ants, which are, you know, the tiny ones that are in your kitchen, and you probably never, you know, huffed them, but if you were to crush them, they have a smell like ammonia. That's why they're called odorous house ants.
You're right, I haven't done that.
Those are the hardest ones to treat, and we have complete success abating them within 2 weeks.
We've got Rebecca Fife, CEO of Landmark Pest Management, and more when we come back on 720 WGN.
Circle of life kind of thing.
I would guess so. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Rebecca Fife, CEO of Landmark Pest Management. Great article about it, her and her company, and what she does to make our city, well, safe from infestation. And that's in New City Magazine, the February-March 2025 issue. Now, since you've brought insects into the studio, we talked about the, I guess we're going to have to post a picture of us holding the hissing cockroaches. But there's another box of beetles, which... What is unique about the beetles that you brought in?
Well, these are blue death-feigning beetles.
Death-feigning.
Yes.
Yes.
These are the drama queens of the beetle world because, you know, they're walking around, they're blue, they're almost an inch long, but then when you touch one, they... play dead for, you know, the next 5 minutes to an hour, and they're very convincing. They look very dead. In fact, I went to Costa Rica in January, and I had our house sitter, our friend Finn, was staying there watching our dog and feeding my creepy zoo because they all need a slice of apple every night. And Finn texted me and said, "I'm really sorry, Rebecca, but I think that one of your death-feigning beetles is dead." And I just ignored the text because we were, you know, going out and doing some activities. And then the next night, Finn texted me and said, "Oh, Rebecca, never mind, that beetle wasn't dead." And I said, "They're never dead, Finn."
Well, they're sometimes they're dead.
Well,
no,
they play dead all the time, and they're pretty convincing. So when you decide, okay, I think this guy is finally dead,
that's just when he gets up and walks away.
Yes, exactly. So this is the one that I touched when I came in, and he's, you know, he'll lay upside down like that with his legs sticking straight up for the next hour or even a whole day sometimes. I mean, he's looking very dead right now, isn't
he? A whole day?
Yes.
Now that's commitment.
Yeah, and you know, these are really easy to care for. These are great pets for children. So
really,
if you want to get a really great pet for kids or for yourself, you can look online and for order blue death feigning beetles. Oh, there he's alive. Oh, barely.
Why is the blue death feigning beetle a appropriate pet?
Well, they can't bite. They can't harm you in any way. And all you need is playground sand and some food like apple slices that they can hydrate from, and that's all they need. You don't need a heat lamp. You don't need anything else to care for them. They can't escape as long as you have a smooth-sided enclosure, so you don't even need a lid. Unlike the Madagascar hissing cockroaches, they have little suction cups on their feet. They can climb glass. The blue death-feigning beetles can't. So I think they're the most outstanding pets for kids. They have a really slow metabolism, so they don't eat very much. They, you know, conversely, don't poop very much. Their cage stays clean. Oh, this guy's alive again. Whoops.
So he came alive because he's just been resting in the palm of your hand.
Yes.
But if you touch him...
If I touch him, then he'll
go back to his feigned death state.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. He'll stick his legs straight up in the air and just look completely dead.
That is absolutely amazing. So when you said you were away and someone had to take care of your, what did you call it?
My creepy zoo.
What's in the creepy zoo?
We have giant African millipedes. We have a couple of tarantulas. We have a lot of Madagascar hissing cockroaches because they have a lot of babies. And we have blue death feigning beetles, and they're in the darkling beetle family. So there's a couple of other kinds of darkling beetles of different colors. So I have a pretty nice darkling beetle collection because they're so nice for children to hold. And when I take the creepy zoo to events, and sit down with children and show them the insects, that as long as it's the non-biting ones, like the Madagascar hissing cockroaches or the blue death feigning beetles, the children get to hold them. The only rule is we have to sit down cross-legged on the ground so that if one gets dropped, it doesn't fall very far.
What is the biggest misconception, excuse me, that we have about beetles and insects in general, would you say?
Probably that they're dirty. So when people hear that Madagascar hissing cockroaches are cockroaches, they freak out and they assume that, you know, this is just covered in germs and it's something very dirty. But these are bred in captivity. Mm. The substrate that they live on is clean cocoa hull liner, and they only eat organic produce. So
are they vegan?
You know, they'd be willing to eat scrambled eggs or some dog food,
right, something like that.
But they mostly just eat produce. They really love cilantro. They love tomatoes. They had oranges for lunch today.
Indeed. So when you, so you're going to feed a, now those are the Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Yes.
Now if I'm going to feed a Madagascar hissing cockroach some oranges, it's got to be a very small, tiny, infinitesimal piece of orange.
You just put the slices in their cage.
Yeah,
and
they take care of it?
Mm-hmm, yeah, they love carrot slices, too. I gave a Madagascar hissing cockroach to my godson when he was about 5, and much to his parents' chagrin, it was the most long-lived Madagascar hissing cockroach in history. And my little godson, Jack, who lives in Riverside, he gave it one apple core a week, and I don't know, there was a Supreme Court justice who ate like 3 apple cores a day, and he had a lot of longevity. I don't remember who it was, maybe it was Stevens. It did the same for the Madagascar hissing cockroach. This thing lived like 5 years.
Those are Madagascar years.
Yeah.
Yes. So is that the normal longevity?
That's pretty long. Mine usually live 3, maybe 4 years, so his lived a full 5 on just an apple core a week. So these are really easy pets to take care
of. Plus, as you say, these that you've brought into the studio are pregnant.
They are,
so
yes.
Just as they're going out, others will be coming in, so to speak.
Exactly. And when I give them to children as pets, I make sure to only give them male so that they don't have them replicating. I have some neighbors who live down the block, and the mom says if the kids can go a full week without the brother and the sister fighting, then I get to give them cockroaches. So it's been about 2 years and they haven't earned their cockroaches yet. But I have faith that I'll be giving them to the neighbor's kids pretty soon.
Well, that's the first time I've heard of a cockroach being an incentive for good behavior on the part of the kids. You guys behave and we'll be bringing you some cockroaches.
Exactly.
That's crazy. Rebecca Fife has been with us, CEO, Landmark Pest Management. If people want to, I mean, really, if you need that kind of service, how do they get a hold of you?
Visit us on the web at landmarkpest.com. That's LandmarkPest.com. Mm-hmm. So landmarkpest.com.
Okay, one final thing here where we got time, which is about a minute. So the pest control companies who come to your home and they come in and spray around or go outside and spray around, that I'm guessing is not your favorite way to go.
It depends what they're using. If they're using things that aren't safe for pollinators or old-fashioned formulations that they're using just because they're cheap or that was the best thing 15 years ago, no, I'm not in favor of that. But if they're the most modern formulations that don't contain VOCs, don't contain carcinogens, and are the most, you know, up-to-date products that are really effective, slow-acting, so the animals, so the insects bring them back to their colonies and through grooming and, you know, bait transfer to the queens of their colonies can collapse their whole colonies, those are the best products. But we don't have very many competitors using those because those products are expensive.
Yeah, and I bet many of us don't even think about asking. But maybe we will now.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks. Great to have you. Always good to have you around. Check out the... There's an article about Rebecca in New City that contains a lot of information that has nothing to do with insects, but her upbringing and family, and it's just... It's a really very touching, interesting story. So check it out, if you will. Right now, I believe, if I'm... Yeah, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.